Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Foreign Correspondents Club Professional Lunch. My name is Martin Oates. I'm from the professional committee that arranges all these interesting speakers. And just to let you know that in addition to David Gamboran, on the... coming up in a few days, yes, on the 26th of March, we have Southeast Asia 2012 Positive Trends, Dangerous Details, by Manu Bhaskaran, partner of the Centennial Group. That looks pretty interesting. But even more interesting is our speaker today. Professor Zhou hails from Shandong Province, which is northeastern China. He originally was a researcher at the Chufu Shuda, the Normal University, which is the teacher training college. And he set up the first Confucius Institute and was the head of the first Confucius Institute in that university. He is currently an assistant to Professor Du Weiming from Harvard, who is at the Peking University Gaodan Renwen Yanjongyuan, which would be High Culture Research Institute. One of the fascinating factoids that I learned from a professor over lunch is that the complete works of Confucius, the Confucius Analects, only amounts to 18,000 characters. They fit in this insignificant little book here, which is sort of reminiscent of this one, but maybe not. Anyway, in 1988, a professor wrote a biography of Confucius, and it was a bestseller at the time, which to my mind is quite extraordinary when I remember what China was like in 1988. So he's got a long history of promoting Confucianism and talking about Confucius, and I think the best way to get the proceedings going is to welcome Professor Gamboran to the stage. Thank you, everyone. Esteemed guests, friends, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you well.
我更要感谢这本书的英文翻译，CC女士和本书的审校兼发行者著名的托马斯先生，正是他和他们长达一年的辛苦工作，不仅使我的中文版全球公子翻译成英文，而且为此增加了光彩，使它更符合英文阅读者的习惯和趣味。
I would first like to thank all of you for being here today and for giving me this opportunity to speak. Even more, I would like to thank the English translator of this book, Ms. Stacey Mosher, and the publisher, Ted Thomas. Over the course of more than a year's hard effort, they have not only translated my book, The Global Confucius, into English, but have also adapted it to the tastes and expectations of English readers in the form that is presented to you all and the world today.
现在呈现在这大家面前的就是这本《全球孔子》，现在已经呈现在各位面前。孔子曾经说过：“四海之内皆兄弟也。”孔子这种对全世界所有人类、人民都以兄弟姐妹、以一家人来看待的这种博大的胸怀，正是当今世界各国人民所非常需要发扬的人文精神，也是
Confucius said, within the four seas, all men are brothers. Confucius regarded all the people and peoples of the world as his brothers and sisters, and as part of one family. This expansive sentiment is the kind of humanitarian spirit that all the world's peoples need today and serves as a spiritual foundation for world peace.
世界一体化和科学技术的迅猛发展带来的矛盾和冲突并没有得到很好的解决，而是加剧了人类的矛盾和冲突。战争的鲜血还在流淌，江河中还充满着污水和废弃物，蓝天和黑烟完全被黑烟和粉尘所遮盖，无数的人还在饥饿和贫困中，谎言和欺骗以及道德的沦丧让人们痛苦万分。
The world we confront in the 21st century is full of progress and hope, but at the same time is full of contradictions and conflict. The contradiction and conflict brought about by the modernization, internationalization, globalization, and the rapid development of science and technology has not been satisfactorily resolved, but rather is intensifying the contradictions and conflict among people. Blood continues to flow in war, the waterways are still full of pollutants and waste, the blue sky is blackened with smog and particulates, countless people still moan in hunger and poverty. Lies and fraud and moral ruin continue to cause enormous suffering.
人类所面临的种种灾难随时都可能降临，我们总结为人类的五大冲突，就是人与自然、国家与国家、人与人、人与社会、人与自我之间的矛盾和冲突。这五大冲突远远不能涵盖人类所面临的困境，这需要全世界、全人类的理性和智慧。
Humanity faces the constant possibility of disaster. We summarize the five great human conflicts as the conflict between man and nature, between nations, between individuals, between the individual and society, and between others and the self. These five great conflicts cannot come close to covering all the difficulties humanity faces. This requires the rationality and wisdom of the whole world and all humanity, including the ancient Chinese wisdom represented by Confucius.
在当代世界文明发展的大潮中，文化的多元化、民族性发展更成为各国文明交流的旗帜。
In the great tide of the modern world's cultural development, cultural pluralism and a growing sense of nationhood have become the banners of exchanges between all kinds of cultures. The ability of all cultures to enter into an equal dialogue for mutual understanding and acceptance is the foundation of all international cooperation. For more than 100 years in the past, Western civilization's emphatic expansion and hegemony and Chinese imperialism's arrogance and closed-door mentality obstructed understanding and exchange between East and West, and even led to misunderstanding and antagonism.
过去的100多年里，西方文明的强势扩张、霸权主义 和中华帝国的妄自尊大闭门锁国，阻碍了东西方文化间的理解和交流，甚至相互间产生了误解和对立。二十一世纪的世界政治经济文化已经相互融合交织，达到了谁也离不开谁，谁也无法一家独霸世界的程度。东西方文明间的相互理解对话交流是非常必要和重要的。
In the world of the 21st century, politics, economics, and culture have become so intermingled that it is no longer possible to draw clear boundaries or for any one country to dominate the world. Mutual dialogue, understanding, and exchange between Eastern and Western culture is absolutely essential.
正因为如此，孔子作为中华文明、东方文明的代表人物，应当首先让西方人民、让世界人们了解、认识。不了解孔子，便不能了解中国，更不能了解中华民族。当代中国正努力了解世界各国的文化。 也同样希望世界各国了解中国文化。有人把中国在世界各国合办孔子学院称为文化侵略，正是不了解中国文化和孔子文化精神。这正是和的文化，和平的文化。
For that reason, Confucius, as a representative figure in Chinese culture and Asian culture, needs to be understood and known by the West and by all the people of the world. Without understanding Confucius, it is not possible to understand China, much less the Chinese people. Modern China is now making a great effort to understand the cultures of other countries all over the world, and at the same time hopes the world will understand Chinese culture. Some people have referred to the Confucius Institutes established all over the world as cultural invasion. This is a misunderstanding of the spirit of Chinese culture and of Confucian culture, which is a culture of peace.
孔子的基本思想可以表述为爱与和谐。孔子曾说，仁者爱人，他还说和为贵。孔子的仁比起一般中国人所讲的爱的概念更加宽泛，这种仁爱应当是上帝的神的大爱，包括了天上天下、地上地下、一切山川草木、飞禽走兽、日月星辰的爱。
Confucius' basic thinking can be formulated as love and harmony. Confucius said, the benevolent love others. He also said, peace is precious. The Confucian concept of benevolence is even greater and more expansive than the love most Chinese refer to. This benevolence is the great love of God, encompassing all that is in heaven and earth and under the earth, all mountains and rivers, grass and trees, birds and beasts, and the very heavenly bodies above us.
如果用基督教的精神去理解，包括了爱一切上帝和神所造之物，上达苍穹，下达海中，这种爱是有秩序的、和睦的、和谐的，与上天上帝神创造的万物、创造的世界意志密码是完全一致的。人世间的仁爱与和谐是高度完美统一的，或者说一个充满大爱的人必定是热爱人类、热爱世界和平。
If understood in the spirit of Christianity, it includes loving all things in God's creation, from the vault of heavens to the depths of the sea. This love has order, amity, and harmony, and it is in unity with the will and code with which God made all things. Benevolence and harmony among human beings is perfect and unifying. It could be said that a person full of love must ardently love all of humanity and must ardently desire world peace.
我曾经创造了20世纪以来中国第一部孔子的历史文学传记《孔子传》，第一部孔子的电视传记片。在一次作家座谈会上，有一位中国的知名导演对我说：“杨教授，你写了这么多关于孔子的学术论著，我们一般文化人和老百姓根本看不懂。你写的《孔子传》这样的文学作品，我们能看懂，但是没有不认识的字儿，但是还是看不明白。”孔子这个人最伟大、最光辉、最高尚的地方在哪儿？难道就是办私学、编六经、立道德吗？你能用简短的一句话告诉我吗？
I wrote China's first historical literary biography of Confucius in the 20th century, entitled The Biography of Confucius, and also the first television special on Confucius. At a seminar of writers and directors, one of China's most famous directors said to me, Professor Yang,You've written so many scholarly works on Confucius, but average people like me can't make any sense of them. Now you've written a literary work, the biography of Confucius, and there aren't any words in there that I can't read, but I still don't understand what it is that makes Confucius so great and noble. Is it that he ran his own schools, or compiled the 6 great classics, or established a moral code? Can you tell me simply, in just one sentence?
这确实是一句话说不清的问题，但我还是要回答。我说，孔子最伟大的智慧是他继承了他之前的那样2500多年所可以获得的一切智慧，用一切可能的办法让人类减少动物本性，增加人的社会特性，高扬人性，或者说减少动物性，增加并高扬人性。
In truth,This is something that is very hard to state clearly in one sentence, but I had to answer him. I said, The greatest wisdom of Confucius is that he inherited all the wisdom of the 2,500 years before him, and used all of the means at his disposal to reduce the animal nature of human beings and to increase the social character of people and elevate their humanity. Put simply, he reduced people's animal nature and increased and elevated their humanity.
我把下面的故事和观点告诉朋友们，就是要说，孔子的任务没有完成，他永远难以完成。人类身上的动物性，或者说是贪欲，永远难以消灭，只是多少之敌。人对财富、权力、美色的贪婪没有国界、地域和民族、时间的差别。2000多年前，孔子的继承人孟子说：“人之异于禽兽者，几兮？”意思是说，人和动物的差别很小，就那么一点点。正是这一点决定了是人还是兽，这一点就是伦理道德。
I'm telling you all this story and these viewpoints in order to say that Confucius's mission is not complete, and it is unlikely that it ever will be completed. The bestial side of human beings, their rapacity, can never be truly extinguished. It's only a matter of being greater or less. Human greed for riches, power, and beauty is the same, regardless of national boundaries, culture, or time. More than 2,000 years ago, Mencius, the successor of Confucius, said, "There is scant difference between human beings and beasts. It is just a tiny difference that decides whether we are beasts or human beings. And that tiny difference is moral principle."
特别是在当代商品世界，物欲横流，动物性的贪欲正吞噬着人性的高位。一个人贪欲越少，离动物越远，离君子圣贤就越近。这个人的人格精神及灵命就会更高。朋友们，让我们远离动物性，走向高尚的人性。孔子的智慧不仅是中国人，而且是全人类共有的智慧财富。他应该走出博物馆，走向全世界，也必将走向全人类，走向世界。这就是孔子的历史的、现实的、世界的伟大意义。
It is just a tiny difference that decides whether we are beasts or human beings, and that tiny difference is moral principle, especially in the material overabundance of our modern consumer society. Bestial rapaciousness swallows up the noble side of humanity. The less rapacious a person is, the further he departs from his animal nature, the closer he draws to the virtuous life of a sage, and the more elevated is the person's character, spirit, and soul. Friends, let us depart from our animal nature and aspire to a more elevated humanity. The wisdom of Confucius is the common wisdom and wealth not only of the Chinese, but of all humanity. It is time for Confucius to leave the museum and make his way throughout China and among all of humanity around the world. This is the great significance of Confucius in history, in modern times, and in the world. Thank you.
再次谢谢大家。
Many people are very suspicious of the Confucius Institutes and consider them virtually a fifth column. They are, after all, a government institution. How is this not cultural invasion?
首先，孔子学院是学习汉语言的语言学校。
The Confucius Institutes are primarily a vehicle for teaching Chinese overseas.
它本身不从事任何学术研究， 也基本现在是官方支持，民间办学。
And they do not engage in any research activities. They are essentially sponsored by the government, but are instituted within academic institutions overseas.
比起全中国2亿人民学英语，差得很远很远。
And it falls very far behind the 200 million Chinese who are now studying English in China.
孔子在这只是个文化符号，就如同在北京学习西班牙语的学院叫塞万提斯学院是一样的，也不输出西班牙文化，也不侵略中华文化。
And I would draw the comparison with the Cervantes Institute in Beijing, which is quite a large building. It is promoting the learning of Spanish. It's not really about a Spanish cultural invasion of China. And by the same token, the Confucius Institutes are not invading the West. Okay, we have a question down here. Please identify yourself.
My name is Hardy. The question is,in the 60s and the early 70s, Chinese government suppressed the Confucianism. And why is it nowadays the Chinese government start promoting Confucianism?
六十年代、七十年代的时候，中国政府有镇压孔子儒学，为什么现在突然开始发扬儒学？
这是随着整个中国政治格局的变化而来的一个变化。
This is a change that follows all the changes within the ever-changing contemporary scene in China.
毛泽东领导的是一场革命，而且不断革命，继续革命，永远革命，因而他就要打倒儒家文化。
Chairman Mao's continuous revolution required him to.Want to overthrow the family shop of Confucianism, it's called.
当代社会需要稳定，需要和平，需要发展，因而他与儒家孔子为代表的和谐稳定文化是合拍的，因而我们现在倡导儒家文化。
In China's current stage of development, prosperity, harmony, stability are required, and that's why we are promoting Confucianism.
但是在当代中国，党内的分歧和斗争也是非常激烈的。就以天安门广场的孔子像，就是一个斗争再斗争的结果。因为当时孔子像已经竖在天安门前长安街上，有人又站出来反对，这些人大部分是极左思潮的人。
Within the party, there is vigorous and vicious.Struggles. A perfect example of this is when we managed to get the statue of Confucius put up on Tiananmen Square, but it was the extreme leftist faction within the party that eventually resulted in that statue being removed.
当代中国对儒家文化的弘扬受到了中国绝大多数人民的支持。
The promotion of Confucianism in China today.Has the support of the vast majority of the Chinese people. Okay, Nick, are you satisfied with the answers? Over here to that.
Yeah, my name is Philip Wickery. I'm an Anglican priest and I'm also a professor of religion.我可能先用中文就是来问我的问题。
OK OK，
再给翻译成。
你说中文，我说英文。
好，是这样的，因为我这个在现在在国内，在中国的就是有很多的这个研究宗教的人为那个孔子这个儒家思想是一个有宗教性质的。我杜伟明也曾经是我的老师，他也说是有一个超越性的性质，因此也可以成为一种宗教。那么你认为，你个人认为呢？就是那个孔子也是，你也是引用很多基督教的话， 那个儒家或者那个孔子本人，是有是一种宗教或者宗教性质的呢，还是一种就是完全就是社会伦理方面的一种学说？
My
question is, there's scholarly debate in China right now about whether or not Confucianism is a religion.And Professor Du Weiming has said that there's a transcendent aspect of Confucianism and therefore it qualifies as religion. But others say no, Confucianism is a social theory and not a religion. That there's the phrase in the Analects that respect the gods but keep them distant, so it makes it kind of distancing from religion. So I'm asking Professor Yang's opinion on this.
He's my brother. <笑><笑>关于宗教的问题，我首先说明我的身份。我不仅是一个儒家思想的学习者，我也是基督徒。
Let me first tell you something about my background. I am a scholar of Confucianism, but I'm also a Christian.
如果说在中国文化当中，道教、佛教都是宗教，那么儒教也是宗教。
In China, if Taoism and Buddhism can be considered religions, then certainly Confucianism is also a religion.
但是，我之所以定义为中国化的宗教，那么它与西方的天主教、基督教与上帝是截然不同的两个范围。
However, it is a religion with Chinese characteristics that has significant differences with the Christianity that we are more familiar with.
我们的宗教是上帝，是创造宇宙万物的神，应该在这个意义上讲是神学。
Our religion relates.So our religion relates to the
creator.
Actually, give this man the microphone. if I make the religious mistake, thank you. So our religion relates to the creator of all things.
中国的宗教是人间宗教。
Chinese religion is a religion of the people.
A
humanistic, yeah, please. I defer to my colleague.
它不具备神性，它是因人做得好，有智慧，对社会有个贡献，而逐渐上升到神性的地位，但是它不是神。
Yeah, so the religion is not the Confucianism is not the,involving human beings and lifting up the highest behavior and action of human beings, which is makes it different from Christianity.
中国宗教中，不管是孔子、老子、释迦牟尼，通通都是人也。
So all of these.
Religions that were built around actual humans, Confucius, Lao Tzu, and Shakyamuni.
他们与上帝、与主耶稣基督、与神不可同日而语。
They cannot really be considered the same as Jesus and the Lord.
我恰恰是由于先学了儒佛道。我认为他不是神，然后我又才信了基督。
I'm fortunate that I first studied Confucianism, and I realized that he was not a god, and that's how I found my way towards Christianity.
还有问题吗
？Any more questions, sir? Do you have any other questions for me? For lots of time, so over here.
Hi, I'm Geraldine. Can I just
what extent is Confucianism promoted within China? What
do you think about that? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
目前中国的儒学呢，官方在不动声色，采用比较平和、比较隐晦、不直截了当的一种方式在推广。
Currently, the officialdom is indirectly promoting Confucianism.
官方的所有文件上。都不会提到孔子和儒学。
You won't find mention of Confucius in any official documents.
他笼统地使用了一个词汇，叫“弘扬中国优秀传统文化”。
But you will often detect in these documents, the phrase "promote the traditional Chinese culture."
这是一种比较委婉的表达。
This is an indirect answer to your question.
当他们私下跟我们这些学者或者咨询机构的人在一起的时候，就说我们要借着你们这些专家学者的嘴使劲说，但是你们却说我们不说。
And these officials will tell them after hours at coffee shop that they would like to use.These scholars and promoters of Confucianism to promote Confucius without them needing to do so themselves.
Okay. Good.
Wait for the
microphone.
When you go to Qifu in Shandong, tourists, they will see a lot of activities paying tribute to Confucius.Is the mainland authorities attaching much importance to this rituals? Are they meant to promote Confucianism as a religion, or are they just activities meant for tourists? 就是我们到山东曲阜的时候，有很多这个祭孔的活动，那是专门给游客看的呢，还是真的是要恢复很多流于这个形式化的东西？
这个问题你问我就算问对人了。
You ask the right person this question.
我就是全球祭孔活动的总策划。
I'm the master planner of all these activities.
三天有三天。每年的孔子的那个大典宣读的祭文就出自于我的手笔。
The announcements of the major Confucius celebratory events come from my pen.
那么你刚才提问当中的两个层面，我可以肯定的告诉你，都有。
The two aspects of your question I can answer in the affirmative.
既是有文化上的、政治上的象征意义，也有。给大家看的意义。
So indeed, there are certain religious aspects to it, but it's a lot of fun too to watch. It's a sight to behold.
如果大家有兴趣，我可以做一点揭秘。
If you're interested, I can reveal a secret to you.
Okay. 2004年。面对着非典以后，曲阜旅游人数急剧下滑。
During 2004, just after SARS, the number of tourists to Qifu, the home of Confucius, dropped dramatically.
政府领导到北京找到我，说：“杨教授，想个办法吧。
”The leaders of Shandong Province came to Beijing, sought me out to ask me what is to be done.
我说。现在已经到了，政府要站出来，公开亮相表态支持的时候。
I said it is time for the government to stand out, come out, and promote the celebration of Confucius in Shandong.
在此以前，这个活动是民间自发的。
Prior to that, it had only been on an unofficial level amongst the citizens of Zhufu.
我策划的主题词就是政府主持全球祭祖。
I came up with the idea of saying that the government should promote a global promotion of Confucius.
非常幸运，政府批准了。
And fortunately, the government paid attention to my proposal.
但是我们的政府非常会玩变通。
But our government is very adept at coming up with changes in policy.
每一个报告都送到了中央宣传部，每一份报告给往上打报告，请示中央。
So many reports were delivered up to the central authorities.
但是不要求中央回答。
But there was no response from the central authorities.
你只要不反对，我就接着干。
My attitude was, if you don't say it can't be done, I will continue to proceed with what I'm doing.
2004年我写这篇祭文的时候，大家胆战心惊。
In 2004, when I wrote the proposal, people were very concerned.
担心乌纱帽的问题，官帽的问题。
Were concerned that I would be.Landed with a bad rap.
我替他们开脱了责任，我说由我个人承担责任。
I said I take full responsibility. I hope you.
如何承担呢？我以我个人名义写完了这个祭文以后，用我个人的关系。第一，送给了中国孔子基金会。
There's an official institution called the Confucius Foundation, and that's where he delivered his report.
这是文化部、中宣部批准的一个官方民间机构。
This
官方民间机构。
So this is an officially sanctioned.Non-government institution sanctioned by the Ministry of Propaganda and the Ministry of Propaganda.
然后我又把这个祭文用我个人的工作关系直接用传真发给了中央宣传部办公室办公厅。
And I also took it upon myself to fax this document to the Central Committee's Propaganda.
没有人给我们任何回答。
None of these institutions gave us any response.
我打电话给中宣部山东省委的领导，问可否。
I even telephoned the propaganda authorities in the Shandong provincial government. Can we do it?
他们说，回答说，没说否，就是可。
And the response was.If we don't say no, the answer must be yes.
当在9月28号这一天，祭孔子文公布的时候，中央宣传部、山东省委宣传部给予了高度的评价。
However, on September 28th, which, as you all know, is Confucius' birthday and Teacher's Day, the central authorities gave a high level of.Affirmative support.
从此以后，我们的胆子就越来越大。
Thereupon, we became more and more brazen.
搞这个活动的官员就纷纷提拔升官。
And the officials who became involved in these activities tended to be promoted rather rapidly.
对不
对？ Actually, I think.That's a very positive note on which we can end this meeting, and I'd like to thank you all for coming. But before we leave. Thank you all very much for coming. And I'm sure Professor Young would be more than happy to sign any books that you buy from over there. Not only that, he will sign